God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. I don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and waves still pound upon the sand and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. You can build a paradise or wall yourself into a tomb. A kick against the holy wound, a kick against the wounds. We're still one, be you so blind to fight against a living lie. You can't hide inside that night.
Less Visibles here. This is twice a month he comes by with his audio commentary. He writes some blogs and sings some songs. We like to have him come by and speak. He's a passionate writer and a passionate speaker. Many people are moved either to love or hate him. That's what happens when you're good at getting under skin and hitting that nerve. He comes by twice a month, once metaphysically, once sociopolitically. This is the metaphysical commentary. Less Visible from across the pond.
Greetings to our readers and listeners across the Milky Way. Those of you tuning to us interdimensionally or via warp hopping through the rotating transmitters that bounce the signal at the speed of thought to galaxies and realms beyond the reach of the usual services. This is the real Sirius Network, as opposed to the not very serious but seriously pornographic audio, which proliferates in the dense realms of matter, in the Thomas Guna cloud, which presently blankets his benighted and beleaguered sphere. This is the dog poet resonating with the mothership. Some may think when I say Thomas Guna that I'm referring to an individual, perhaps the one who discovered it, named Thomas. That would be incorrect. The Thomas Guna is one of the three states of action of the Hindu system. They are Tamas, Rajas, and Sattva, and would parallel with the Western alchemical terms of salt, sulfur, and mercury. In any age, we are in some combination of the three with one preeminent. At this time, that would be Tamas, and you can take that to the bank, which is the best example of Tamas I can come up with, and which is the prevailing power of the times. That would be money, honey, and the adoration thereof. Tamas is darkness, and though we may be short of a lot of desirable items at this time, we have no shortage of darkness. Not that darkness is desirable unless you don't want people to see what you're doing. Those rare souls who have the insight and determination to search out sites like Visible Origami and others of like intent, yes, there are others, know that the baser elements of human nature are presently in high celebration and that the higher elements are a drag on the party monsters using the population as party favors. You know what you don't know, and you can see the man behind the curtain. Some of you can even see that he isn't wearing any clothes, and it's not an attractive sight. But I digress, I think. Perhaps I am not digressing, but only engaging in a form of mental moonwalking, being one who also does not know. Well, let's leave it at that. The four horses are stamping and snorting in the stable as they register the approaching footsteps of their riders, who are appropriately called the Four Horsemen. What would an apocalypse be without them? People are always noting the negative side of these aspects, but it's only negative when seen in the context of the Thomas Guna cloud. If you don't want the darkness shattered with light, and you don't want the cloud transformed into mist upon the shoulders of newly revealed mountains and heretofore hidden kingdoms, then I suppose what is coming will be viewed as negative by some, or more likely many. It's important to remember that these major forces have a general and a personal application. It's important to remember that their appearance in the outer world is going to be mirrored by an appearance in the inner world at the same time. The dismantling and reconstituting will be taking place in both locations. You can go with it, or you can attempt to go against it. The latter would be similar to an individual trying to halt the rotation of the world by grabbing a tree and exerting the impressive force of their personal will. An elementary awareness of physics should explain the absurdity of such a proposition. You might want to consult the Greeks at this point and catch up later, or just continue on with me now. As per the expected, the majority of people maintain their faith in their faithless leaders. They look to them as agents of peace, while they wage wars on defenseless populations for personal gain, as they plan yet new devastations on new victims. They imagine them as representatives of hope and change, both of which are now working the streets since shortly after they got off the bus from Minnesota last week. These people are the salt of the earth. And if you remember, we talked about salt and the tamas guna earlier. The interesting thing is that a lot of these people believe in God. Strangely enough, it is their belief in this God that makes them comfortable with their leaders killing defenseless people abroad in exchange for their resources and access routes to their country. Apparently, their God has put the big stamp of approval on blowing people into confetti for his greater glory. At other times, I have told you that this world is backwards and upside down. So it is that this God they are worshiping is actually a horned demon who delights in cruelty, bloodshed, and confusion. This explains how a God who is supposed to be about compassion, mercy, and justice can actually be for anything but. They got this God from a particular group of people who have been worshiping him all along. This group of people has become very powerful under the tamas guna cloud because they like it. Well, they like all the same things that their God likes, and we've seen what that is a time or two, have we not? Telling the truth is no easy affair under the tamas guna cloud. We're raised by parents who instruct us to tell the truth. We attend schools where we're told that certain virtues are the accepted way, and we move into a society that holds these things up as the lights that guide us through the darkness. But most people know that this is only going to get them in trouble. Maybe they tried it a few times in the beginning and saw the error of their ways. We'll take a short pause for an outburst of maniacal laughter. Okay, moving right along and hoping you found that cathartic. This winter is going to be a watershed moment all across the planet until spring comes limping in like an asthmatic Walmart greeter searching for a shop steward on his day off. Quite some number of you are going to be pounded like veal before you get dipped into the batter and thrown into the frying pan, where you'll be seasoned with a generous sprinkling of hope and change, who are now equipped with some interesting STDs that will provide the sensations you get when someone puts too much accent in your chop suey. That's MSG for those who don't know what accent is. So you just drive your thumbs into the corners of your jaw until it goes away. A lot of you are going to want to know what Kenneth Copeland, Benny Hinn, and Tony Alamo have to say about what's coming. You'll have to check the links at Visible Origami to see what I mean. Tony may be a little harder to reach than the others, but that's because he's busy explaining how God works at the moment. This is all proof that God works in mysterious ways. My point, as we approach the end of the text portion for tonight's show, is hypocrisy is epidemic in nearly every area of human endeavor, and just about everything we are told is the opposite of what is being done. The key point in all of this is that there is most certainly a divine presence that permeates and witnesses everything through the very eyes of the people doing it. I'll leave you with a little metaphysical consideration that you may ponder if you will. This divine presence is the author of existence and consciousness. It composes everything you see. Everything is made out of it. It is also aware within everything according to its disposition in relation to the substance so occupied and composed. It is also apart from it at the same time. This divine presence can initiate anything at any time within anyone or anything. It allows events to take their course up to the point that it resolves circumstances according to the point it wants to and will make. The whole of life is only about this. Everything you think and say and do has consequence. Nothing outside of you has any importance except in relation to this. Everything outside of you has no meaning except what you have given it, and that is only temporary meaning. The real meaning of anything and everything exists within the awareness of the one mind. The awareness of any separated mind is only degrees of fantasy. To see how close we are to great transformations, we have only to look at the degree of absurdity that surrounds us. We have only to look at how wide the divide may be between what is and what we are being told is so. You have only to look at the state of things to intuit what is coming. We'll now close the text portion of the show. And moving now into the pure audio realm. This is Dog Poet wishing you the best of what's coming, extending to you the collective greetings of the Sirius Cluster. We've got our eyes on you. Aroo! I sound a little bit like Bela Lugosi as the dog poet there. Well, now, this is a little more intimate. Just the voice in my head, my voice, and the voice in your head. It's okay if we all talk at once, since it's the same voice, and it won't be asking you to help me purchase a new Citation 10 jet so that I can take Visible, Origami to the skies, or on the road, or you to the cleaners, however the case may be, or all of the above. The problem, if there is one, is of actually trying to tell the truth, is that it's not conducive to acquiring large amounts of personal wealth. The upside is that it takes care of you at all times, so there's no need to sell your soul to gain what comes with the territory, or so I have found. I want to talk about a personal experience I just had which relates to the topic under discussion. That is the concept that everything is under control. Like most people who finally come to realize the presence of a power greater than themselves, I have a strong personal will. Anyone who knows me will tell you so. It's a lot more disciplined than it was once, but that is probably due to it being disciplined by the power greater than itself. I should also point out that one's personal will is made increasingly stronger as it becomes more aligned with the greater will, from which all will comes anyway. There is no power ever exercised that does not come from the single source, no matter how perverted the application may become. This is a critical thing to understand. For more than a year, I've been having some very difficult periods in my life, near constantly. Since this is now passing, it's easier to talk about it. One of the problems has been my perception of the universe, or forces in the universe, were devoted to frustrating and tormenting me at regular points. This may well have been true, and it may also have been a misperception on my part as to why it was happening to begin with. You may consider this applies to all of us across the board. Seems to me at the moment the reason for this was simply to show me that everything was under control. It's our nature to react against unpleasant circumstances. It is our nature to want things to be a certain way and to work toward those ends. Our ends are not necessarily the same as those of the greater will. I would go so far as to say that often they are not. You might well ask then, why does evil seem to prosper so well at the moment? Ah, good question. The truth is that evil is being allowed to prosper for a very good reason, and we are now going to see what that is as time passes. For those of us who are trying to do the right thing, insofar as we understand what that is, it is much more difficult because the tide of the moment favors the wicked. This is in order to get the wicked to a certain place where the point that is going to be made upon them can have the greatest impact while they are denied any legitimate excuses afterwards. On Friday, I was compelled to reinstall Windows on my computer. Unfortunately, my password for Gmail and Blogger turned out to be different after I was done, and I could not access any of my blogs or my mail. My previous experience with Google has been that it is very difficult to communicate with them, and if you don't have the answer to your secret question and you don't have a secondary email, which I didn't, either of them, well, Pilgrim, you're in a bad way. For some hours, I tried every permutation of passwords and all the clever tactics which I possess to no avail. Finally, I said to my consort, well, that's the end of it then, and I don't much care anyway. That is so, or maybe it's not. Perhaps it's both. I care and do not care at the same time. She's always the more reasonable of us, more patient and more possessed of the natural virtues than I am. In some ways, I'm a child compared to her, as I certainly am with the greater mother that she is representative of. So I toyed with the apparent angles for a while in my mind, and I realized there was nothing more I could do, or so I thought, and I went ahead and reinstalled Windows yet again, since the first time I missed formatting the disk, and that's never a good thing. There's a place in the Google password recovery section where you can fill out a form and send it in, and maybe they'll do something, but it's sure to take a while, because that has been my experience with other events in the past. I had already tried this before, and on several attempts, and I had found that the information I placed in the boxes would disappear in the process. So I had abandoned it. It came into my mind then that I should try it again, because there was no other option except to abandon the blogs and my email communication as well, and that would have just been the end of it. Now, just prior to this, I've been considering the idea that everything is under control, and I surrendered to that, telling myself that whatever the reason was for what happened, it was all in the scheme of things. Anyway, I went back to the page and began to fill in the blanks. I wasn't able to provide much information, and just from looking at it, I thought, unluckily, I was going to get a positive decision from the authorities. Even the email I gave them to respond to me was not in my name. I have no idea why I gave them that one. I did what I could. They wanted dates and all sorts of things, but who remembers the date they started their blog or got their email account? Sure, I could have gone to the blogs and checked, but that didn't even occur to me. Everything's under control. I sent off the information and went and did something or other in the interim, and it was no more than 15 minutes after that when I, for whatever reason, went and checked into the email I had given them, and there was an email from Google Support saying that they considered my case and were going to allow me to reset my password. Maybe you know how strange this is, and maybe you don't. But trust me, that was really strange. I didn't even believe it was happening until shortly after I had my account and all my blogs back. What was the point of this exercise? It was to show me that everything is under control. It doesn't matter how big or how small it may be or seem, it's under control. The power that is can change or manifest anything, no matter what. I realize now that everything I was being put through recently and for much of my life was all about making me understand that everything is under control. Believing this with assurance is the essence of faith. And as we have been told, this is the substance of things unseen. I suspect I'm about to get much greater demonstrations of this because that's the way it works, and I will probably fail consistently again until I embrace and accept a greater degree of surrender and so on and so forth. We sell the one will short and ourselves and our potentials as well. I'm persistent, though. That's one thing I surely am. I keep pounding on the door. I had an amusing event on vitamin K about a year ago when I was really at it, and all of a sudden a voice boomed in my head and said, "Who's making all that racket down there? You'd better cut it out before I have to come down there." But that was just what I wanted, though, wasn't it? So I kept it up and got the results I was looking for, and not the implied action I was threatened with. This work is not for the timid. The divine will test your sincerity, your determination, and your faith. How can they grow otherwise? It also separates out the insincere and the dilettantes. Well, so ends another transmission, and we must bid you adieu. We'll see you maybe even next week, if there is one. We've been told that that is a possibility, so stay tuned. Until we meet again, may the great light of the one will permeate and surround you and lead you closer to the path and the light of the candle in the window of your true home.
God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun